Blog Talk Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another week of Lives of the Prophets. Stories by Ibn Kathir. But first, before we start,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Leads his people. So, let me see what happened there. Oh, okay. Jonah leaves his people. Try as we might to convince them of the foolishness of idolatry and of the goodness of Allah's. Wait a minute. It sounds like I've got some people that are raising their hands. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take this.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Walaikum assalam.
Yes, unfortunately, you were in the listening mode. I won't say you were on mute. You're in the listening mode. I just put you in the in the audio.
Okay.
So you can start.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that beat, and I was like, "What's going on? Am I on mute?" Thank you, Sister Malta. I appreciate
you. You're more than welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Okay, so now that I'm in, all praise is due to Allah. You see, we have to cover for each other. We really have to cover for each other, and we have to do it with the right spirit. She could have came on and said, "Brother, what's wrong with you? You ain't listening, though. Come on, brother, get it together." You know, she could have said it like that. But instead, she saw that there was a problem, and what we're told is that, you know, if you could change it with your hand, change it with your hand, or change it with your speech, change your speech, or change it with your heart. All praise is due to Allah. My sister changed it with her hand. We appreciate her for that. That's what you call covering, brothers and sisters. Okay, so the story we're doing today is on Jonah. Okay, this is going to be a very interesting story because we have to understand that Jonah was inspired by the creator of the heavens and the earth to be a prophet. That's what he was inspired to do. Remember, he's a human being like you and me. In his time, he was just a human being just like you and me. And he got the inspiration. You know, Allah gave him the inspiration and gave him a mission. And in giving him this mission, his human sensitivities kind of got in the way. And, well, you'll see what I'm talking about. So with Allah's name, most beneficent, the beneficent and merciful. Jonah, Prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, also known as Danu, about his people, Almighty Allah said, this is from Quran. Was there any town, community that believed after seeing the punishment and its faith at the moment saved it from the punishment? None. Except the people of Jonah. When they believed, we removed from them the torment of disgrace in the life of the present world and permitted them to enjoy for a while. So that's from Surah 10, verse 98. Now, what does that mean? It means that they changed. The people of Jonah changed because Allah was about to bring down the wrath. But because they changed, then, you know, he held that. Allah held that. So we continued. The inhabitants of the town of Nineveh were idolaters who lived a shameless life. Prophet Jonah, peace be upon him, was sent to teach them the worship of Allah. The people disliked his interference in their way of worship, so they argued. We and our forefathers have worshipped these gods for many years, and no harm has come to us. So Jonah, he got a little pissed off. It doesn't say that, but that's really what happened, because it says Jonah leaves his people. So try as he might to convince them of the foolishness of idolatry and of the goodness of Allah's laws, they ignored him. He warned them that if they kept on with their foolishness, Allah's punishment would soon follow. Instead of fearing Allah, they told Jonah that they were not afraid of his threats. Let it happen, they told him. Jonah was, and this is the human part, Jonah was disheartened. In that case, he said, I will leave you to your misery. So saying that, he left Nineveh, fearing that Allah's anger would soon follow. But that was the human part of him. He got disheartened. But remember, Danu, Joseph, Jonah, when he went off in anger, again, another human characteristic, and imagine that we shall not punish him, the calamities which had befallen him. So remember, when he went off in anger and imagines that we, meaning Allah, shall not punish him, Jonah, the calamities which had befallen him. That was from chapter 21, verse 87. Now, Allah is telling us even in the Quran that sometimes his messengers, this was one of the messengers, that display human characteristics. He got disheartened. He went off in anger. So he said, well, yo, he was like, look, Allah ain't going to punish me. Allah going to punish them. So this is what happens. The people are forgiven. Hardly had he left the city when the skies began to change color and looked as if they were on fire, the people were filled with fear by this sight. They recalled the destruction of the people of Ad, Thamud, and Noah. Was theirs to be a similar fate? Slowly, faith penetrated their hearts. They all gathered on the mountain and started to beseech Allah for his mercy and forgiveness. The mountains echoed with their cries. It was a momentous hour filled with sincere repentance. Allah removed his wrath and showered his blessings upon them once again. When the threatening storm was lifted, they prayed for the return of Jonah so that he could guide them. But it's a little too late. He left. Jonah left. He was pissed off and angry, so he left. The storm at sea. Meanwhile, Jonah had boarded a small ship in the company of other passengers. It sailed all day in calm waters with a good wind blowing at the sails. When night came, the sea suddenly changed. A horrible storm blew as if it were going to shift into pieces. The waves looked wild. They rose up as high as mountains, then plunged down like valleys, tossing the ship and sweeping over the deck. Behind the ship, a large whale was splitting the water and opening its mouth. A command had been issued from Almighty Allah to one of the greatest whales of the sea to surface. It obeyed. The whale hurried to the surface of the sea and followed the ship as it had been commanded. The tempest continued, and the chief crewman asked the crew to lighten the load, the ship's heavy load. They threw their baggage overboard, but that was not enough. Their safety lay in reducing weight further, so they decided among themselves to lighten their load by removing at least one passenger. At least one person. So Jonah jumps into the sea. The captain directed, we will make lots with all the travelers' names. The one whose name is drawn will be thrown into the sea. Jonah knew that this was one of the seamen's traditions when facing a tempest, you know, a great storm like this. It was a strange polytheistic tradition, but it was practiced at that time. So Jonah's afflictions and crisis begins. Here was the prophet, subjected to polytheistic rules that considered the sea and the wind to have gods that riot. The captain had to please these gods. Jonah reluctantly participated in the lot, and his name was added to the other travelers' names. The lot was drawn, and Jonah appeared. His name appeared. Since they knew him to be the most honorable among them, they did not wish to throw him onto the angry sea. So therefore, they decided to draw a second lot. Again, Noah's name was drawn. They gave him a final chance and drew a third lot. And unfortunately for Noah, his name came up again. Jonah realized that Allah's hand was in all of this, for he had abandoned his mission without Allah's consent. The matter was over, and it was decided that Jonah should throw himself into the water. Jonah stood at the edge of the ship looking at the furious sea. It was night and there was no moon. The stars were hidden behind a black fog. But before he could be thrown overboard, Jonah kept mentioning Allah's name as he jumped into the raging sea and disappeared beneath the huge waves. The whale swallows Jonah. So the whale found Jonah floating on the waves before it. It swallowed Jonah into its furious stomach and shut its ivory teeth on him as if they were white bolts locking the door of his prison. The whale dived to the bottom of the sea that runs in the abyss of darkness. Three layers of darkness enveloped him, one above the other. The darkness of the whale's stomach, the darkness of the bottom of the sea, the darkness of the night. Jonah imagined himself to be dead, but his senses became alert when he found he could move. He knew that he was alive and imprisoned in the midst of three layers of darkness. His heart was moved by remembering Allah. His tongue released soon after saying, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illa anta. None has the right to be worshipped but you, Allah. Glorified and exalted be you above all that evil they associate with you. Truly, I have been of the wrongdoers. That's from Surah 21, verse 87. So, three layers of darkness, meaning that sometimes things can seem so dreadful in our lives. We take something from it. Three layers of darkness. And, you know, remember with the Nation of Islam, we were talked about that we were in triple darkness. So that's not something that that's new to you. Triple darkness. So Jonah continued praying to Allah, repeating this invocation. Fishes, whales, seaweed, and all the creatures that lived in the sea heard the voices of Jonah praying, heard the celebration of Allah's praises issuing from the whale's stomach. All these creatures gathered around the whale and began to celebrate the praises of Allah in their turn, each in its own way and in its own language. The whale also participated in celebrating the praises of Allah and understood that it had swallowed a prophet. Therefore, it felt afraid. However, it said to itself, why should I be afraid? Allah commanded me to swallow him. Even the whale had sense. Now, remember, this is a story that we're reading. And it can be, since we wasn't there, we're taking it at face value, but there are human indications with this, that sometimes you can be so deep in, you know, it could be something else. It could be, you could be among polytheists. You could be among drug dealers. Triple darkness. I mean, you're in hell in the people. You're among thieves and robbers, and they know you. They know who you are. They know that you're a prophet. They know that you're a Muslim. They know that you believe in Allah. But you're in triple darkness. But they know who you are. And they know that, you know, but while you're among them, you're looking for your way back. We're looking for our way back. Triple darkness. Can't find a way back. So Allah forgives Jonah. Almighty Allah saw the sincere repentance of Jonah and heard his invocation in the whale's stomach. In the triple darkness, Allah commanded the whale to surface and eject Joseph onto an island. The whale obeyed and swam to the farthest side of the ocean. Allah commanded it to rise toward the warm, refreshing sun and the pleasant earth. So again, say that you get trapped in drug addiction. But then, you know, because of your sincere repentance in triple darkness. And Allah hears that sincere repentance, and then He places you in a halfway house. It might be Allah places you in another country, or Allah places you in a better community of people. Allah places you in the hospital. But it's like the whale surfaced and ejected Jonah onto an island, okay? A place where, you know, it was light here. There was a possibility to continue to exist on an island. Jonah was no longer in triple darkness. That's basically what it says. Allah commanded the whale to surface and eject Jonah. So he ejected him. He took him out of triple darkness. The whale obeyed and swam to the farthest side of the ocean. Allah commanded it to rise toward the warm, refreshing sun and pleasant earth. The whale ejected Jonah onto a remote island. His body was inflamed because of the acids inside the whale's stomach. He was ill, and when the sun rose, its rays burned his inflamed body so that he was on the verge of screaming from the pain. However, he endured the pain and continued to repeat his invocation to Allah. Allah caused a vine to grow to considerable length over him for protection. Then Allah exalted, caused Jonah to recover, and forgave him. See? So even in triple darkness, when you are the inspired one, we have to always remember that the message that we have here is that we are human. And Joseph was disheartened. I mean, not Joseph, Jonah was disheartened because he couldn't deliver the message to his people. He got angry and left. The heck with you! I'm leaving! And he put himself in a worse situation than the situation he had with his people. Allah said, okay, you leaving? Okay. And so he thinks he's leaving. And he gets on a ship that's supposed to be taking him someplace and finds out that, hey, that ship that's supposed to be to rescue him and take him away actually took him into triple darkness because it was something that overwhelmed, that he had no control over. It overwhelmed him. And he wanted to get out. They recognized who he was. They recognized, oh, you know, this is Jonah. Well, he's a good man. Oh, we recognize he's a good man. We don't cast lots. And the one whose name comes up, now this is a polytheistic, you know, this is a pagan practice. We're going to cast lots. So Jonah has he's on the ship. He has no choice but to participate. He has no choice. He has to participate. But they know he's honorable, man. They put his name in with everybody else's. And lo and behold, his name comes up. Yo, you the one that have to make the sacrifice. He said, you know what? You're an honorable man, Joseph. We're going to try it again. Now, I'm talking about today. We are being in triple darkness amongst people who are in triple darkness. And they know you're a Muslim. They know you're Muslim. They really don't want to, you know, get you involved. But, you know, it's like, yo, you're with us. So, because you're with us, then, you know, you have to participate. So they drew his name comes. They say, you know what, we're going to do this again because, you know, you're a valuable person. You're a person of value. You're a prophet. You're a good man. So they did it again. His name came up a second time. They did it again. His name came up a third time. So Jonah realized that the hand of Allah was in this. Can you imagine? You got that? You in triple darkness as a Muslim. And you think you're getting out of the situation, but then you go deeper into the situation amongst the polytheists, the pagans. And since you're in there, hey, you know, This is what we do. The pagans do. They was fair in their pagan practice. Now you with us, so now you have to participate. And Jonah, the Muslims say, well, you're right, I'm here, I have to. And I'm praying, help me. And your name come up to do the deed. And they say, oh, wait a minute, but you're a Muslim. Now we're going to try this again. The name come up again. You're a Muslim. Try the third time. Your name come up again. And then what? You realize that the hand of Allah is in it. So you realize that then, you got to go with the consequence. You got to go ahead and perform the deed. He jumps into the water. And then he gets swallowed up and goes deeper into triple darkness. So it's not like, this was a real trial. This was a real trial. And sometimes when you're in a trial, it doesn't automatically get better because you pray to your Creator. That's not what this says. Allah said that he saved him because he recognized that Allah Almighty saw the sincere repentance of Jonah and heard his invocation in the whale's stomach. Again, Allah heard the sincere repentance of the Muslim and heard his invocation in triple darkness. So because of that, Allah told the whale, the triple darkness, let's lift the triple darkness off of Jonah. Let's start lifting the triple darkness off of the Muslim, the one who submits his will to do God's will. And so, he says, and verily, Jonah was one of the messengers. When he ran to the laden ship, he agreed to cast lots, and he was among the losers. Then a big fish swallowed him, and he had done an act worthy of blame. Had he not been of them who glorify Allah, he would have indeed remained inside its belly, the fish, till the day of resurrection. But we cast him forth on the naked shore while he was sick, and we caused a plant of gourd to grow over him, and we sent him to 100,000 people or even more, and they believed. So we gave them enjoyment for a while. Surah 37, verse 139 through 148. So it's important that, a lot of times when we read about the prophets, we don't hear prophets changing their minds. We don't hear about prophets getting angry. We don't hear about prophets, getting disgusted. Oh, y'all ain't gonna listen to me? Well, I'm leaving. We don't hear prophets doing that. And all the prophets that we've been reading about, none of them showed that side of the anger. But Jonah did. This is what Allah is showing us. Basically, that prophets are human. And they have human characteristics and human sensitivities. Allah is showing us that Muslims are human. That the human being is human and displays human sensitivities. So if the time comes where, you decide that, I know I'm doing this part here, but I'm going to do something else. The heck with that, I'm going to do something else. So rather than do that, what you say is, I'm going to go ahead and do something else. And then next thing you think you are saving yourself from what Allah did, and next thing you done went and put yourself in a worse situation. And now you have to get out of the worst situation. So that's basically what we're saying. All right, we're going to take a moment here because, we're halfway through the program, and we're going to play a PSA. Okay?
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Nyla Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Alhamdulillah. So today is Tuesday, and as you know, in American Muslim 360, we're doing the lives of the prophets here right now, 8 a.m. Thank you so very much for being with us. A little later on today, it's going to be about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
So that's today on American Muslim 360, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central. Tuesday is the day on a new day for our Islam community radio that we do the show, Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married. So that's going to be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure that you tune in. It's going to be an interesting program, believe me. It's going to be interesting. Also, just want you to know that today also on IWDM Radio will be Science and Health Learning Lab with Rashid Salam. That comes on at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, too. So you have a good selection going here as far as Muslim media is concerned. So make sure you check out and support this radio programming. Also, I'm going to take the time to say that coming up will be the Cultural Extravaganza concert that's going to be in West Haven, Connecticut, with Jesse Hameen, the legendary drummer Jesse Hameen, the legendary guitarist from Motown who played with Motown, Wale Ali, and who did the classic song Images. And Wale Ali has done, you know, a number of songs. And also that amazing songstress from our community, Sawad El Amin, who has done the song Shahada and many other songs. Also, you know, I'll be performing there as a propagator, probably doing Birds of a Feather and maybe something else. Then there will be Kachibi. He plays the flute, and, I mean, he is really good. I call him the Charlie Parker on the flute, So he's going to be there too, and he's going to play with Jesse Amin, and he's going to play with Wale Ali. I mean, man, it is going to be historic. Then there's going to be Trooper. There's going to the MC is going to be Ed Salam, and there's going to be some other people. So that's going to be in West Haven, Connecticut, on August 12th. Okay. All right. So we have that out the way. We're here. We're talking about Jonah and the whale. That's what was, I didn't, you know, just, I didn't even know some of these things. I really didn't. All I knew was, Jonah and the whale. But I think that this, the lives of the prophets, this story has given us some insight, some real insight, and especially about Jonah. And it reminds us that he was human, and even though he was inspired to take the message to the people, and the people rejected him, he responded in a human way. And he left his mission. And so he thought his mission was all right. So you think your mission is all right? Okay, watch this.
Oh, you think you're getting away by, you know, getting on a ship, you're going to travel someplace? Okay, watch this. And puts them in triple darkness. In the whale. That's the way that the story tells us, you know. And that the whale, when Jonah appealed to Allah with sincere repentance, when Allah accepted his sincere repentance, you know, then Allah came merciful. And the ship, the whale actually, spit him out on an island. He was still alive. And even though he was in the male stomach, he got sick. But Allah allowed him to heal. And, you know, we know what sickness is like. You know, it's not like, you know, like Allah said, well, boom, there you go, man, you're good. It took some time. It took some time for that sickness to get to that place where it was good. So gradually he regained his strength and found his way to his hometown. He was pleasantly surprised to notice the change that had taken place there. The entire population turned out to welcome him. They informed him that they had turned to believe in Allah. Together, they led a prayer of thanksgiving to their merciful Lord. Alhamdulillah, Abil Adameen. So this is a hadith that says that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, one should not say, I am better than Jonah. Ibn Mata. I don't know exactly what that Ibn Mata means. But that's from one of the one of the hadiths. So I think that we've had a pretty good story here. We've had a pretty good story, and inshallah, that it has given some insights on our very lives, that it's important that we, I'll share this with you. I wasn't feeling too good last night. I don't know. I think it was something I ate. I ate some ground beef, you know, and I ate it for the purpose of getting protein, putting protein into my body. You know, so I ate the ground beef, and I was all right. But then what I did is I said, I'm going to have some dessert. So I had some silk chocolate milk, and I had a chocolate donut. And I think that combination, that sugar on top of that protein, put me in a bad way. So I started not feeling well. And then I'm watching social media. So, most of the time I try to stop eating by maybe, 8 o'clock. I try by 8 o'clock, stop eating. But it was after 8 o'clock when I had that chocolate milk and that donut. So now I'm waiting around for Isha to come in, because after Isha, I start shutting down. I'm getting ready to go to bed. Why? Because, I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and make budget. But I wasn't feeling. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching social media and I'm not feeling it. So I go lay down, I get up, I lay down, I get up. I mean, I'm restless. Finally, it's probably about 2 o'clock in the morning, I finally fall asleep. Now, I usually awake for Fajr prayer. Today I did wake for Fajr prayer. Alhamdulillah, and Bil Alameen for that. But you know what? I was so tired that rather than do prayer is better than sleep, I fell right back to sleep. And so this is the first time that I have missed Fajr prayer since the beginning of Ramadan. And you don't know how that, I don't want to say hurt me, but I was very disappointed with myself for that. I was very disappointed. But then again, I was like, this, the jinn, the jinn, Shaitan, got me. He got me. Why don't you go ahead and have, you know, why don't you go ahead and have that chocolate milk and a donut? Hey, it's dessert. It's dessert. So I had that chocolate milk and that donut. Yeah, I got him now. Why, you know, so, you know, I'm not feeling good. I'm restless. The sugar's playing a part. And it's like, oh, man, I'm just feeling irritated all around. I wind up not being able to fall asleep till 2 o'clock in the morning. Then I fall asleep, and most of the time, like, you know, the alarm will wake me up at 3. So, you know, the alarm went off, and I sat up. But I was so tired. I was so tired that I laid back down. So it's like I got up. I was up. You know when it says prayer is better than sleep. But I you know, it got me. So I laid back down. And I didn't get up till like 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I was disappointed. Totally disappointed with myself. So now I have a problem. You see? Now I have a problem because, see, I believe that I was, well, first of all, there's a lesson. And the lesson is that, you know, when you're eating, you eat beef, it's not good to put sugar on top of it. It's just not. It's not good to, it was not good for me to put that chocolate milk and that donut on top of that beef. It wasn't good. Because what it did was it was a bad combination for the body, and the body responded. So now what I have to do, I have to tomorrow, you know, or today when I eat, I have to be very conscious of the circumstance and situation as far as being enticed, influenced to eat dessert after eating the meal, especially if I'm going to eat beef. And tonight, you know, I'm going to eat beef. Why? Because, you know, like my body continues to need protein, so I'm eating a little bit of, you know, I made, you know, a pan of beef, and now I'm just eating off of it a little bit at a time. So, and I'm doing that because my body needs protein. So, and beef is a good source of protein. So that's why I'm doing it. Now, I could just go straight fruit. I could go, you know, like instead of eating, you know, the beef, I could eat, you know, sardines because, you know, I found a really good brand of sardines. I don't eat every brand of sardines because every brand of sardines doesn't taste the same. But, you know, like I do another dish where I do, you know, Chinese rice and sardines. I just mix it up, man, you know, with a little bit of butter and maybe some garlic. And, I mean, man, it's great. It's great. And I think that what I did is that I think that I've eaten chocolate milk and a donut after eating, you know, rice and sardines, and I didn't get a response, a negative response. So I thought, well, this time I'm eating beef. You know, I'm eating beef and corn, and I should, you know, I didn't get a negative response from the other dish, so I shouldn't get one here. But this is the idea, you know, when you find that you get this negative response and it puts your body, your physical body in a certain frame, in a you know, you become, I mean, it was, I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. I mean, it's just this, it wasn't a laziness, but it was like a, it was like a drowsiness and some weakness that came over me. And it was like, it was a yeah kind of feeling. And I couldn't shake it. I couldn't shake it. And I knew it was going to, I mean, it had an immediate effect on me. It had an immediate effect because I started thinking negative. I started being negative. You know, that's not usually the frame of mind that and spirit that I'm in. But this put me in that spirit. And when I realized it, it's like, yo, what can I do? I can't do nothing to get out of it. I got to let, you know, everything digest. And, you know, I said, but, you know, like, yo, it is what it is. I'm going to go ahead, man, lay down. I'd lay down and be restless. I could get up, try to lay down again, and I tossed and turned until like 2 o'clock in the morning. Finally, I fell asleep and woke up at 3 o'clock, and it's like I'm still in that mind frame, that body frame. I'm still there. And so I decide that, you know, like, look, man, you know. And I knew it was time for prayer. I knew it. But what I did, I said, man, I'm going to go ahead and lay back down and go to sleep. And when I woke up at 6 o'clock and realized that the sun was shining through, I was like, disappointed with myself. But it's a human condition. And, you know, I could say that the wrong influence, you know, messed with me, and I did what I did. I can't put it on, you know, Shaitan, even though the whisperer was there. But, I mean, I should have known better. And so this is the test. So tonight I'm going to face the same test. You know, it's like playing chess. You know, you make a bad move. And now when you make that bad move in chess, it's like it's not like the game is over. Now you got to try to recover. You got to try to recover from that. So even though, you know, I'm disappointed that, you know, like I didn't make Faja, you know, and it what it did was you know, I had a consistency that was going on as far as Faja prayer was concerned, and it broke that consistency, you know, and, you know, I was pissed off for a minute. But I'm going to have to recover, start all over again and ask Allah to forgive me for what it is that I did and that I didn't make Faja prayer. And tomorrow start all over again, because that's how we have to do. That's what Jonah had to do. He had to start all over again. It was a bad situation that he put himself in. Put yourself in a bad situation because of your human, because of being human. And when you put yourself in that bad situation, it's like, I mean, I wonder, you know, would we say that that Shaitan came against Jonah when he was disgusted with his people? He was disheartened. I don't remember any other prophet, peace be upon them, being disheartened. I mean, at least the Quran doesn't tell us that. All the prophets that we've been talking about thus far, none of them seem to be disheartened. I mean, look at Joseph, Yusuf. Look at the situation that he was in. He didn't become disheartened. I don't remember any of the other prophets becoming disheartened. But the Quran is showing us. The Quran is showing us this idea that happens in humans, because humans, prophets are human beings. From the time of Prophet Adam, Father Adam, he was a human being. And all the prophets that followed, look what happened with Noah. He didn't become disheartened. Look what happened with Lot. He didn't become disheartened. And Jonah was by himself. Jonah didn't have the situation that Noah had. When Noah, he had to keep the faith and keep on doing it, and his wife was against him. Same thing with Lot. And his wife was against him. Jonah was just like, oh, the heck with you people. I'm leaving. And he left. He left with anger. So that's, I think that what Al-Quran is showing us is that we're still human. And when Allah asks you to do something, you know, don't give up the faith. Don't become disheartened. Don't become angry. It will happen. It will grow. Right now, you know, we're on American Muslim 360. We're in Muslim media. And we've had difficult times as far as being Muslim media is concerned. It hasn't been no cakewalk. You think it was a cakewalk for Thomas Abdul Salam? May Allah bless him, forgive him his sins, and favor him with the paradise. You think it was a cakewalk for him and his wife Aisha, Kareem? May Allah show favor with her. Bless her with good health, good works, and give her Allah's protection. You think it was a cakewalk? You think it was a cakewalk when Mukhtar Muhammad took the reins of CWSC? You think it was a cakewalk? You think it's a cakewalk with Martha Nyland Williams doing CWSC? We're not going to even, let's not even talk about that. You think it's a cakewalk in your life with the things that you have to do? So do you give up on your children? Oh, the heck with this. They ain't listening to me. Walk away in anger. Do you do that? Do you stop supporting the masjids? Oh, man, I ain't supporting him. He ain't doing this thing right. Oh, the heck with that. I'm leaving. I'm not supporting that. I'm going to go ahead, man, and take a vacation. I'm going to go ahead, man, and take a cruise. I'm going to go ahead, and go to sunny California. I'm going to Florida, Disney World. That's right. Let them take care of it. Let them take care of it. Let somebody else take care of it, but I ain't doing it. We can't lose the faith. We can't give up. If we have the mission, we got to really do everything that we can to stay with it. Because what will wind up happening, hey, Allah may put you in triple darkness. And that's no joke. So that's the best thing to do, brothers and sisters. That's the best thing. And believe me, I am no imam. I am just your brother, William Kareem. That's it. I'm not Imam William Kareem. I'm just William Kareem. And I am pleased to be here with you, right here on American Muslim 360. I'm going to be on the program, Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married, a little later on today, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I ask you to join me. Join me for Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married. It's going to be a very great show. I'm inspired. You think I want to do the show, Why Muslim Americans Don't Want to Get Married? some kind of way, man, Allah put me on that mission, and I'm doing it, inshallah, to the best of my ability. Okay, so, we got a couple of minutes left, and what we want to do is we want to play an announcement. Let me see, what are we going to do? This is a good one. Young mind, read religion about, no, we don't want to do that. The Female Solution, that's a good program. The Female Solution is a very good program. And the Female Solution comes on, tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Female Solution will be on, okay, with our brother Kareem Hamid. That's a really good program.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, that's going to be a good program tomorrow, The Female Solution. That's going to be 8 a.m. You said 7, but it's 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 a.m. Central. Okay? So, thank you so very much for being with me. I learned a lot from that. I pray that you got a lot from it too. I learned a lot from this week's stories of the prophets, Jonah. So last week we did Job, and this week we did Jonah. Oh man, it's just great for us to come together and talk about it. So. If you have a question, I got a minute left. If you want to press 1 on your phone, if not, what I can do is I can play the first Sunday. Oh yeah, let me play this here. This is Omar Shakir, Imam Omar Shakir, with the first Sunday.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in LS Law. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explained its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, I just want you to know that Sunday past, I did listen to the contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad with Kareem Hamid and Michael Hamid. Man, it was a really good program. So I recommend that you definitely listen to that program on Sunday. Was that on Sunday? I think it was on Sunday. The Evolution of Revelation. Well, we'll get to that. Anyway, I'm out of time, but I thank you so very much, brothers and sisters, for coming on and being with me, you know, here on American Muslim 360. And until later on today, I'll be on, again, A New Day for Islam Community Radio. That telephone number is 515-605-9326. And discuss why Muslim Americans don't want to get married. That's a program you don't want to miss today. I mean, it's going to be some great stuff. All right. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.